Welcome to the latest edition of Kiwani Back When. I'm Sean Kernan. With me, Dave Clark. And Dave, do you want to introduce our special guests?
This is going to be a really different program today with Kiwani Back When, because we're going to take a detour over to Galva, and then we're going to come back to Kiwani. So don't worry, we're not making this Galva Back When, you know. But we have a couple of really special guests in the studio this morning, and it's Paula and Jim Bolden from Paula's design team. And I understand all this got started when you were cutting, you know, Shane's hair.
Yes.
The whole thing with where you got started at. He said you found out this is your 50th anniversary.
Yes, it is this year. It was January 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really?
1974.
Okay. 1974.
Yeah.
Well, I opened her first salon.
Well, and where was that? Was that the Galva thing, or were you?
That was. That was in Galva.
Okay. Because we first became acquainted, and when I started covering Galva for the Star Courier in 78, you had the shop there, you know, on Exchange Street, and you guys were good advertisers. You guys have always known the value of good advertising and getting the word out. And then in 81 or so forth, when I became the editor of the Galva News, I was right next door to you. We were next door neighbors.
Yes.
And every so often, Jim would come running in the front door to the counter there, to Pat Wagner or somebody that was sitting there, and say, "Have we got a good story for you?" And when you're in the news business, you kind of, you know, want to be nice to advertisers and business people, but, you know, is it really a news story? But darn it, every time it was. But what we're going to talk about today, I think, is how you guys started out as innovators and then how you came to Kiwani and that sort of thing. But I remember, obviously, we can talk about the Bo Derek experience.
Yeah, this is fascinating. You did a story on this. It turned out to be a front page story. And so where did this come from? I know Bo Derek. I'm aware I was alive at that time. I was 5 years old when that came out.
Now we're getting some perspective here.
I'm aware of Bo Derek. I was not aware that the hair was such a big deal.
Yes. Well, it was a movie, and Bo Derek was in it. And so she had these braids that was braided completely in micro braids, completely straight back from her head. And then her hair was down to about here. We had a girl from Kiwani that wanted to have that look. So we thought, oh, that would be so much fun. We'll just try it. So it was Jim and I and another stylist, and we started on it at like 9 a.m. and Dave stopped by and we told him what we were doing, and let's see, 10 hours was it later?
Oh yeah, it went on in the evening. I mean, I came back, we have pictures, the movie was 10, you remember that?
Dudley Moore.
Bo Derek was, I mean, a picture of her running, you know, with the braids flying and so forth, and this gal wanted the Bo Derek look.
Yep.
So, I mean, had you ever seen that done before anywhere, or was this just looking at the picture of Bo Derek and
just
creating?
Just looking at the picture and knowing how to do it.
Oh my God. And how many braids were there?
100?
It was 100 braids.
100
Wow. 100 braids.
And it just turned out exactly 100.
Little tiny, and she had enough hair. She had long hair to start with. Yep. And it was little tiny braids, you know. We're not talking about, you know, Scotch braids or whatever.
Yep.
They were
micro.
Little tiny ones. And yeah, because I came in and took a picture, and then I came back, and they were still working on it. It was a marathon. They worked on this one, and of course, she sat there the whole day. There might have been a break here and there, you know, to let her get up and get a drink or something. But that was amazing.
That's incredible. Of course, Paula, part of your history in the business is learning innovation and the latest hairstyles and teaching them to other people.
Being relevant, you know, it's ever changing. That's the wonderful thing about our industry, is that every season, every year, it changes. So just staying current with what's going on and educating yourself and keep learning. That's the main thing in hairdressing.
So I imagine even this Bo Derek thing didn't come as a big surprise to you.
No. I actually didn't know that someone would really want to sit that long or even have the hair that long to be able to do something like that. But this girl did, so.
Well, I think it went a little wider than the Galva News, too, because I don't think anybody had done that before.
No.
I think it got coverage outside. I forget who all covered it, but yeah, it was, here's this woman in Galva, Illinois, who's, you know, wanting to look like Bo Derek, and these people are spending 10, 12 hours, you know, whatever it was, doing her hair. The other thing was you were the first ones here to have the stand-up. First of all, they were stand-up tanning booths.
Yes.
How did that get started?
Well, we just saw the industry changing, and that was going to be part of what's the new trending and that's going to be happening. And so we, Jim found one, and we decided this was the best one because it was UVB, the closest to the sun that you could get, and it's what dermatologists were using. So we've always been focused on keeping things healthy and natural.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's how people keep coming back. They trust you and that sort of thing. But yeah, then Jim came running in and said, "We got this stand-up tanning booth."
Yeah.
And this is, we're talking back in the late 70s, early 80s now.
77.
And 77 it was. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was when you started that. So that's when I was coming in and the star courier period in my life, I guess. But we had a young lady that was willing to get in there, and she wore a bathing suit or a towel or something. But then you went to the tanning beds, which are still in use now, is the bed format, a tanning bed. Are they still?
More lay downs than there are stand ups.
Because I remember we used to, you gave a package or a prize, I think, to the Henry County Fair Queen when she went to Springfield. So we'd always go and take a picture with that photo montage we did, you know, and that we got to show her swimsuit with that too, you know, it was appropriate with what that was. But it was always at Paula's, you know, in Galva. And that sort of thing. And massage business, you get into that sometime.
Yep. We had a girl that went to school, and she was from Geneseo, and she came over and did massages. So we entered into that field too. We became always wanted to become full service to for the community to be able to come to one place and not have to go here, there, and another place. So. And that's what we are
it's
today.
It's more than just a beauty salon. It's more than just perms and shampoos and that sort of thing. Yeah,
that's fascinating too, because you're constantly on the front of these trends. Like, not all that long ago, you got into threading.
Got into what?
Threading.
Oh, yeah. We've been. I think we just are on the cutting edge of everything.
I'd never heard of it before, and then suddenly I'm talking to people about it, and they're telling me about threading, and I'm like, "What is threading?"
Yes. Well. Waxing is probably the biggest thing that we do, because that is more suitable for most people. And so we've been doing that for years and years and years, and we do body waxing and leg waxing, and men come in and get waxed. So that is another industry that is usually most salons don't get into. So you have to have a room where they can lay down and, you know, have that all that facility. So,
And then you came to Kewaunee.
Yes.
And you were what, down on Main Street here in the old Kroger store, where B&B, or did you, where were you at first?
Right next to Heartfelt.
Oh, that's right, up on Main Street.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I'd forgot about that. Yep. And you moved from Galva up there. Why did you make the move? Did you more customers over this way, or?
Yes, actually I did a style show over here for one of the clothing stores, and that got us a lot of the men. Mm-hmm. So we also opened the first men styling area in the front of our salon. Mm-hmm. So we interviewed, you know, we had that going on. And so then we had a lot of guys coming over, because in the 70s, they had longer hair.
Yeah.
So we started that, and then we got a lot of women that wanted to come, because we had a really, really beautiful salon that I had a lady design. And so it just was uniquely different to everybody.
Well, of course, then we get into, it used to be the beauty parlor, beauty shop, beauty salon, or whatever, was just for the women folk. But now you start into, like, Sean gets his hair cut there, and I don't have any hair anymore. So, but anyway, have you seen that transition from the all girls thing to where men come in now?
Yeah.
And get what do they, besides the threading and stuff like that, what do men get at your Paula's design team?
Well, they get waxing, and they get their hair shampooed, colored. Pretty much anything that a woman would have done, they would have done. So,
was it a big change though when you started seeing male clients come in? Was that what was that change like? Or was it, did it just start off as mostly female clientele?
Yes, we started off with just female clientele, and then when I did the style show over here, then like I said, a lot of the guys came over, and then we decided to put them in a separate area just for the men. We would like to do that again here. But the unisex came along, so they wanted everything to be together, and now it's come again where they want more separation. Mm-hmm. So it looks a little different, a little more manly to them.
It's fascinating that for a very long time, there were beauty shops and there were barber shops. Men went to the barber shop, women went to the beauty shop.
Yeah, yep, that's very much.
And so you've seen that change.
It has changed completely, you know. So that's been a lot of years ago. That's been, I don't know, I couldn't even tell you how long, because that was back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So it was a long time ago.
We're seeing a lot fewer barber shops anymore. Just, you know, for the guys. And actually, you can reflect on this too, maybe fewer salons too. Are salons becoming more consolidated, where you're offering more services in one place than a bunch of little shops, you know, here and there?
It is still, there were a lot of home salons then. Mm-hmm. A lot of people did them right out of their homes so that they could have their kids there and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We're seeing less and less of that and more downtown. I think there's several in Kewaunee now. But it doesn't seem like there are too many of them that want to branch out with as many different services as we do with the hair extensions and the eyelash perming and eyelash tinting. And, you know, it's just on and on it goes. And if we've just added and added to be able to make it like a one-stop shop for everybody.
Now, what's happening now? You're out on South Street. You went from North Main Street down to South Main Street down here.
Yes.
And now, how long have you been out there on South Street?
12 years.
12 years? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot. We moved out there because we felt like we had people coming from Geneseo and Toulon and all over. And it seemed like everything was going out there when Walmart went mm-hmm. in, and everything was moving out that direction. And so we just felt like that was the perfect place to be. And like 27,000 vehicles go through that stop sign. So it's a lot of advertising right there.
And of course, as you come down the four lane going south, you look right at your,
yes.
You've got an electronic sign there. You guys know what you're doing. I look at that and said walk-ins and all this other kind of stuff. Oh, okay, they're, you know, open or whatever. See the lights on in there sometime at night and everything when I go by. I'll just pop in and give you a hard time. Well, what's happening out there now? What kind of services are you offering?
What kind of services?
Anything on the horizon, I guess, looking forward to?
Oh, well, this summer we're going to be adding in a lot of holistic services. I'm not exactly sure exactly which ones, but we'll be going more. I got the idea when I went to Ireland. That's where our son's from, Noah. Noah managed our salon for years when it was really, really big and a lot of stylists. And when I'm going over there, everything's so holistic. There's like, they call them wellness centers, and they're probably in the size of Kewaunee about 8 or 9 wellness centers. And they're reflexology, herbology, kinesiology, you know, all the ologies that you want. and it just inspired me that my son and his wife are both involved in that. Noah's a 2-time national Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, him and his son in winter in Ireland, and they do hot and cold therapy, the Wim Hof breathing, and Dr. Hearn was even talking to me about he has used the Wim Hof breathing, and so it's just something that we would like to see, like more of a holistic wellness area also, and we're big enough, you know, we've got 3,600 square feet. So
wow.
Yep. So that's, we're big great. Enough to do that.
Yeah. How's Noah's in Ireland? You said now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How they? Is he coming back any time soon?
Yeah. Or? His plans are to move home. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Get back here.
And,
in 50 years though, that's an amazing time. How did you ever come up with this idea? You're from Galva.
Yes.
And you're from Toulon, right, Jim?
Yes.
And how did this all get started? We're talking about this wonderful stuff now. You know, where did you guys come up with the idea of going into business? Obviously, you got married, and this, was this the first thing you tried, or?
Well, actually, I was in hairdressing before Jim and I got married. So I started in a little salon in Betty, and was the name of the salon.
Now, where was that at?
In Galva.
In Galva.
Yep, underneath the furniture store.
Oh, yes.
And it was just two little stations down there.
On Front Street.
And she wanted to retire, and she wanted me to buy the salon, but I didn't know that. I was just right out of beauty school and didn't know that I was really ready for that. Jan, my best friend, went to beauty school together. We were there, and this girl bought it, and Jan and I, this is, went in, and this is not nice, but Jan and I went in, and Betty told us we could do New Year's Eve for our clients. And so we thought, Monday, we'll go in, do them. Well, over the weekend, she'd come in and turned everything around. And long story short, she got one of my clients got up and changed things back because the phone was here on the phone, on the wall, you know, and we're running over here to the desk and the coffee pot was over here under the phone. So my customer, a lot older than me, changed everything around, and that girl came in and she saw it. She got so mad, she threw the appointment book across the room and smashed the coffee pot down, and it was with little legs on it, and it went out. She took it to the back, she called me to the back, and she goes, I can tell you and I are not going to work together.
Wow.
She said, get your stuff and leave. And I said, I have a full day, I can't leave. Betty told me I could stay. And I called Jim and I cried and I said, I got fired. And so he said, how could you get fired? You haven't even worked for me. So he found me a shop, and we had people in Galva open up. And then,
was that when the Paulus thing started?
Yeah.
That's when Paul, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
That's it.
Well, Jim, thank you.
When she opened her first salon, the first day she opened, the actual only real beauty salon equipment she had was two shampoo bowls.
Oh,
everything else was folding card tables, folding chairs, portable hair dryers, handheld mirrors. The poor ladies had to hold the mirror for her to comb the hair out. And it was quite a start. It was a lot of fun.
All the hairdressers around town, though, you know, because my dad real involved in the community and everything, lived there forever, and they, all the hairdressers would, here I've got a little dryer, here a dryer, you know, here you can use this. And
yep, yep. Got to start it. And look where you are 50 years later. My goodness.
Yeah, I've had a great career. I absolutely love the industry.
Yeah.
I've been a national educator for two companies, and in corrective coloring and patterning. I've met amazing artists. You know, I've done stage shows. We were published nationally and internationally 35 times, so on hairstyling books. So we just have, it's just been a great career.
And this is an incredible thing too, is that you mentioned that, is that people may not be aware of, is that you have a national standing within this industry.
Yep. I love the industry, and I love taking kids right out of school and helping them. And sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. You know? But we want a community of stylists that are community involved, but also that they love people, they take care of people. We are a service industry. Mm-hmm. And so that's the number one thing, is that it's an environment where they can grow and we can have a good environment for our customers to come in and feel welcome, all different types of people. So.
Now, Jim, how did you keep busy in all of this? other than trying to keep up with her.
Keeping up with Paula is tough. Because she is always searching out new things. And as soon as you get pretty handy of working with one of them, you got a new one to come up. And then I do most of the maintenance and keeping the computers up and doing all that stuff. But it is nonstop learning. Yeah. Anybody, unfortunately, you get too many people that started this and 10, 15 years later, well, I've got 15 years experience. And I've always wondered, do you have 15 years experience or 1 year experience 15 times over?
Yeah.
You got
it. I can tell you about Paula, it is always a new experience.
It's a learning, yeah. I mean, that's amazing for 5 decades to just keep looking for the new thing that people want, that people need, you know, and that sort of thing. And that's, I think, what people keep coming back
That's
for.
What I've always been fascinated by what you do, is that you've seen so many trends come and go and have to catch up, not just catch up, you're often maybe ahead of them. You know they're coming, but, and having to learn them and make sure that you can teach them to other people.
Yes. Well, the great thing about longevity in this business is I've done the some of the haircuts three times over now. Sometimes they have a little different names. The shag now is called the wolf cut, you know. So, but I've done so many different hairstyles that when they come back around, well, it's just a new name.
Years ago, I remember when we were dating, and Dorothy Hamill was the figure skating, and she had this cute little haircut. And I remember one time Paula said, "One more person asked you to do a Dorothy Hamill," and this was 40 years ago. And just the other day, this lady called, and she goes, "Well, I don't know if you remember her or not, but you ever heard of Dorothy Hamill?" And I said, "I got the perfect person for you."
Oh, something's never, well, like you say, they keep coming back, you know. The Dorothy Hamill, was that what they called it? The Dorothy Hamill, I think, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Yeah. There's certain people that have very distinctive haircuts, and and that actually encouraged me to go back and get what they call your master's in hair design. Mm-hmm. I signed up for Pivot Point International, and all my teachers were from Europe, and they teach by motion and feel and direction and the weight of the hair. Texture of the hair. And so it was completely different, and that it was an amazing experience for 2 years. And I got to work again with some amazing, talented people. So, and they could, and we teach over here. That's the only sad part of our industry is that we only have 9 months to learn everything, and it's just not enough time. And unfortunately, the turnover in our industry is running right around in the 80%. Within 2 years, the kids getting out of school will not be doing hair.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's sad.
Wow.
And that's why I wish I could change that somehow, but I've tried through our senators and stuff like that, but it just doesn't work.
Is it a financial crunch, or is it just people just getting burned out on the service industry, or?
If you think of what we have to learn,
You
know, perming, coloring, haircuts, waxing, facials, all the anatomy, all the chemistry.
So people don't treat it you should treat it like a lifetime commitment, like what you would do with a doctor or something like that. And people don't think of the hair industry that way.
No, they do not.
But they should, because of what you just said.
It's a profession.
Yeah.
It is a profession, and it's a very difficult one because you're dealing with so many different individuals. Mm-hmm. And not only, you know, because we get people in from just losing people, having deaths, weddings. So we go from the spectrum of, wow, this is amazing, to, wow, this is really sad. Mm-hmm. So you're doing all the, I don't know, trying to be everything to everybody.
You mentioned all of your learning, on top of which everybody associates going to a beauty salon with having conversation and a confession area, essentially.
Yeah. Well, you
it's
develop.
It's a people thing. You know, you've got to be able to deal with people very well.
Right. And be compassionate and understand, like, if someone comes in a bad mood, you just try to understand where they're coming from. You know, what's their experience. And so you just try to give them a lot of kindness and gentleness and patience, and that's, I think, what people need nowadays, more now than ever, I think.
And especially since this is an industry that can't go away, this is always going to be something that people need.
Yes, and, well, we're not really a need. We are more a want, you know, because they don't need a haircut. They don't need a color. They don't need their eyebrows plucked. You know, tweeze. So they don't need all that. But that's what Noah always talked about. We're that extra money that they're going to give us. And they're that extra money. We're not the rent. We're not the power. We're not their food. Mm-hmm. We are that extra money. And it's like going out and going to a nice restaurant. How do you want to be treated? So that's the way we look at it. We are thankful that they, you know, trust us with their money and their hair and their looks, because it's all really important to them.
Yes, I think so.
What do you remember most looking back over 50 years?
What do I?
What's the one thing you look, you got 50 years of experience now, what do you remember most about that time? Was there a certain event, a certain person, a certain, just the overall thing about doing this for 50 years?
I remember some people, but it's so interesting. I look at like Kelly that's working for us now. She's just one of the most amazing stylists I've ever worked with. I've worked with many, many, many. And honestly, she is by far my favorite, if you have them. Yeah, I'm not supposed to, but she is my favorite. She's gentle. She has everything that she needs, and she wants to learn. Every night I'm sending her new stuff, and she's sending me texts back. And there's one incident that, you know, I was in Chicago and doing a stage show at the Midwest Beauty Trade Show, and there was a very popular stylist that he couldn't cut his hair at all. I mean, he couldn't cut, but he was a great talker, and he would get up on stage and be flamboyant and that, and then he'd come out afterwards. He goes, "What'd you think of that?" And I said, "You sounded like you just did last year. You don't sound any different." So I always remember Robert Cromean.
Yeah, there you go. Jim, what do you remember? What do you remember about the last 50 years?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you looking forward to the next 50?
It seems like it's been forever, but yet at the same time, it's just a flash. But one of the things, I'm not going to say any particular incident, but one of the things that I've seen is so many kids, I'm not going to say girls, because there's both men and women come out of beauty school, that have the attitude, "Well, I've got my license, I know everything I need to know." That license, to me, only does one thing. It gives you the license to learn. And it is a non-stop progressive learning. And unfortunately, too many people quit learning and then they die in the industry, kind of regress to what you had asked a little earlier about the high percentage of people. They don't want to learn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't want to change. They want to do what they've done. And it's just a mechanic today, if he was trying to do things that we did 50 years ago, he's not going to make it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in this industry. If we're doing the same thing we were 50 years ago, you're not in business.
Yeah. I mean, there used to be small town barbershops where the barber would have one haircut. He'd just shave your head and send you on your way. And you just can't do that anymore.
We had 2 minute Mike over in Deposit. Mike Mulberry over there. Sure enough, I don't care how much hair you had, 2 minutes, he was done. $1.75, I think, was all he charged, or $2, something like that. Well, looking at the clock winding up here, I got one more thought. Jim mentioned the woman that remembered the Dorothy Hamill haircut. Going back to how we all got started with the conversation here this morning, if somebody called you up and said, you know, "Do you remember Bo Derek in 10?
Would I do it?
Would you do
it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh,
you better be careful. We're on the radio now.
I know. Hey, I would do it. It probably take three of us. It took us three stylists then.
So, yeah, yeah.
But to keep it so that they would want to sit there that long. But yeah.
But wouldn't that be fun?
Oh my gosh, it would be fun.
And Jim, you can call me up and I'll come out and take a picture.
Now, go back to Bo Derek. She kept those braids in for 7 months.
Hmm. When they did the movie,
Of course, it grew out. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a little flat on top. And it took her and her boyfriend over 7 hours to get them all out.
Wow.
All unbraided. Yeah.
That's wild.
The things you find out here on Kiwani Back When, it's just amazing. Well, it looks like time's up, Sean. We're running out of clock here. Big radio business got to go on. So thank you very much, Paula and Jim Bowman from Paula's design team. And Sean, thank you for coming up with a good idea here.
Yeah.
And I got to say, your hair looks pretty good too.
thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.